Time for Cinema Chat, and sitting to my right, your left, if you're looking directly at your radio this morning, is Mr. Russ Collins. Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. Good to see you.
It's, you know, a little unexpected, but this brought a big smile to my face. My one bright, shining moment of my Thursday morning I was really looking forward to is sitting with you and discussing what's going on in the film industry. So welcome to Cinema Chat.
Yeah, well, we have a local story and a regional story to start off before we get into the films, and that is that the yesterday, I was fortunate enough to sit with our board chair, Alec Allen, and three of the owners of the State Theater, Barry Margolis, Jim Chaconis, and Shelley Mendelson, as we signed papers and exchanged checks for the purchase of the State Theater.
Now, congratulations.
We don't quite own it. There's still a little bit of paperwork to do and a couple of little things to resolve, but everything is moving forward nicely. There's a timeline of things that we need to do. We're going to be working with some consultants and architects, and there's a lot of work to do. We've got to do a fundraising campaign, and we're going to have to think very carefully about how to design the theater to maximize community benefit. But we'll look forward to making some significant improvements to the State Theater, but not until probably 2016, sometime in 2016. But we hope to have everything buttoned down for the State Theater's 75th anniversary, which is in March of 2017. The State Theater was designed by a very famous Detroit architect that has designed theaters all over the world and buildings all over the world, a guy by the name of C. Howard Crane. He designed the Fox Theater in Detroit. He designed Orchestra Hall, which for many years was the Paradise Theater and was home to jazz, and now it's the home to the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and the Detroit Opera Theater, which originally was built as a movie palace called the Capitol Theater. 60 theaters in all in the Detroit area, one of them being the State Theater, which is a really wonderful Art Deco theater that's been diminished through the years because of its use and adapted use as a store. But we're very happy to have the former balcony of the space continue to serve as a theatrical exhibition space, and we'll look forward to improving it significantly in the years to come. Well, the Toronto Film Festival kicks off today, which is very exciting. And the Toronto Film Festival may be the biggest and best film festival in the world, and it's just 4.5 hours down the road in Toronto, Canada.
Are you going?
I'm going to go for a couple days. We've got a special meeting of specialty film theaters we do when we do a conference every year at Sundance, and we're going to get together with some of those folks on Sunday. Slumdog Millionaire, The King's Speech, Crash, a lot of films that ended up winning Academy Awards come out at the Toronto Film Festival. And this year, a Foxcatcher is being premiered there. It's Steve Carell plays Mr. DuPont, who was a...
What is it about these comedic actors that it's so creepy when they do roles like this?
And the reviews on this have been just great.
I've seen the previews, and both he and Channing Tatum look really, really good. But there's just something about a guy that you're expecting a joke. You're always expecting a joke, and he's just creeping you out. And I don't know. It's going to be hard to watch. It's based on a true story, unfortunately, as well. And you kind of know what's coming at the end there. But he just looks absolutely mesmerizing in his portrayal of this very off-kilter millionaire.
Absolutely. Benedict Cumberbatch, everyone's favorite British actor these days, is going to be in a film called The Imitation Game, where he plays an English mathematician who helped crack the World War II code. Preliminary buzz on this has been very strong, and there may be an Academy Award nomination in this. Love and Mercy, which is a biopic that stars John Cusack about the Beach Boys legend Brian Wilson. Mr. Turner is a Mike Leigh film. Mike Leigh has won 7 Oscars or been nominated 7 times, and it's about the 19th century painter J.M.W. Turner, who's you probably have seen his films even if you can't, or seen his paintings even if you can't call them to mind. That's gotten great reviews. The Theory of Everything is a film about Stephen Hawking that should be very interesting. Whiplash is actually a film that's coming out at the Michigan Theater in about a month. It premiered at Sunday. Sundance. But anyway, there'll be about 300 feature-length films that are premiered at Toronto or show at the Toronto Film Festival. So if you've got some spare time, go check it out. Toronto Film Festival opens today and plays for the next
when you go,
days.
How many do you see? How many movies do you plan on seeing? Or you're busy with meetings. But
At the Toronto Film Festival, I actually don't. I'm not going to see that many films because I'm going to have a lot of meetings and I'm not going to be able to.
Excuses, Russ. Come on.
At the Sundance Film Festival, I'll tend to see 4 or 5 films a day.
A day. Okay. I thought you were going to say 4 and 5 total. I was going to call you a little bit of a slacker for a second.
4 or 5 films a day. And I'll tell you, if you've seen more than 2 films in a day, it's a lot like work.
My great opinion of you continues, Russ Collins.
Well, we're opening up some a couple of cool films at the Michigan Theater, I just lost my page here. Yeah, Frank is coming out. And Frank is a film that is about a musician who's rather odd, and he wears a papier-mâché hat over his head, and it's played by Michael Fassbender, but you don't get to see his face. Right. And this film is the hot buzz film on the art house film circuit, so you want to go check that out. The reviews are very strong. The Chicago Tribune said, a functioning, funny, weirdly touching fable of artistic angst and aspiration, a meditation on fame and its terror, and the metaphoric usefulness of masks and huge fake heads.
It's interesting. I mean, how hard must it be to portray a role like this when you can't use your own? I mean, your face is so evocative of emotion. And they say that Michael does an incredible job in this, which I guess you'd have to see it to believe it. I've seen the previews, and it just looks odd, but again, weirdly kind of entertaining at the same time. So it's
and very appropriate for the musical context that it portrays. Le Chef is a French film about an aspiring young chef played by Michael Yeon, and he's talented, but he doesn't have a lot of luck, and he doesn't have a lot of access to resources. And Jean Reno plays the experienced star chef, but he's losing his reputation. And he may lose stars on his beloved restaurants. And the two get together and do something that's intoxicating, fun, and it's always a lot of people find it fun to see movies about food. It's amazing, but it's true, especially French haute cuisine. The Los Angeles Times raved. It says, an amusing souffle of comedy that pokes fun at foodies while honoring the art of those who cook them. So what could be better than
we
that?
We can't jump up and down in the theater too much because we might deflate the souffle.
That's true. You have to be very careful or you'll deflate it coming right out of the oven. At the Multiplex, The Identical is opening. It's about twin brothers that are separated at birth. They were born during the Great Depression. They both have a passion and a talent for music, and they get together later in life. The film stars Ray Liotta and Ashley Judd, and you can go check that out at the local Multiplex. And The Longest Week stars Justin Bateman as an affluent and aimless Conrad Valmont, who lives a life of leisure in the prestigious Manhattan Hotel, but one day he finds himself evicted, disinherited, and in love.
Of course, it's very complicated for
Justin Bateman's character. There's a lot of specialty screenings coming up. Obviously, the Eastern Michigan University and University of Michigan and the public schools are all geared up and ready to go. We're winding down our classic series, and we have our Monty Python Meaning of Life, which is our late-night classic series. It's maybe the most tasteless, but maybe the funniest of the Monty Python films. And The Big Lebowski plays midnights at the State. This is everybody's favorite midnight film these
days. You can't
be
the dude, man. I'm the dude.
That's right. Everyone's the dude. So if you haven't seen The Big Lebowski, go check it out. Or if you have, you'll want to go see it again. And then Pulp Fiction winds up our summer classic series this Sunday and next Tuesday. This is Quentin Tarantino's huge, huge, huge breakthrough film of the 1990s, maybe the most influential American film of that era. There's a documentary film that's being put on called Embracing of Age, The Female Perspective of Growing Old. It's put together by 10-time Michigan Emmy Award-winning producer Keith Famey. And you can go see that courtesy of the University of Michigan Health System on Sunday at 6 o'clock. The last day of summer in the Innocent Sorcerers are a couple of Polish films that we're showing. We're doing a huge series that was put together by Martin Scorsese. So you'll want to go check that out on our website, the entire...
Wait, I'm going to drop some film knowledge. Any Andre Vida films featured in that Polish film series?
There is. I can't call the one to name, but go check out our website and you can see the entire list. It's
masterworks.
Very cool.
Masterworks of communist-era Polish cinema.
The first couple films are going to be shown on Monday at 7 o'clock. Go check that out. There's going to be an Asian film series, and Wong Kar-wai's The Grandmaster is going to be doing that. The Confucius Institute is putting that together. That's going to be Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And then Joan Crawford biopic, Mommy Dearest, is going to be shown. This is based on her adopted daughter, Christine Crawford's autobiography. That's going to play on Thursday, a week from today, at 10 o'clock.
My kids never get it when I yell at them about using wire hangers. They never understand the referencing. Someday they might be old enough to watch that movie, and then they can appreciate the cultural reference of no wire hangers ever!
It's always good to do a show with a film fan. That's great.
Unintentionally funny movies are, I think they're right in my wheelhouse. I think a lot of people appreciate it, too. You try really hard to make this serious movie, and you end up with something that people are going to make YouTube videos out of for the rest of its life because it is, again, very unintentionally laughable.
It's camp is good wherever it comes from, I think.
Thanks, Russ. It was always a pleasure. Cinema Chat, heard each week Thursday morning here on 89.1 WEMU.
Ta-ta from the Toronto Film Festival.